I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I got a speeding ticket in the mail yesterday.
In the mail?
Yeah. I think I'm going to just ignore it.
It's Mike Shope.
Where was this?
Spain.
And the Bulldog.
I think if I just lay low, I think I'll get away with it.
Not mention it on the air?
Definitely don't want to talk about it on the air.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I like the sound of this more and more as we go. I'm an outlaw.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right. Hey, all right, everybody. Good afternoon. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off. Zach Jones alongside. And we have a pretty juicy day from yesterday to sink our teeth into. I think anyway, we'll see how you all feel about that as we go. Maybe some of you won't. I won't find out whether you like this idea and conversation. But if I hear from some of you, that will give me some degree of a clue. We are yet another year further down the road from the Toronto Maple Leafs having won the Stanley Cup. 58 years now, the Leafs have gone without the Cup. They won in 1967 and have not won since. And look, this is not a Toronto show. This is a Buffalo show. But I feel like there is, you know, I've got some things to say about the Leafs and the game and the whole of it. But I feel like there is an opportunity to have a conversation about how many of you and even me are feeling about the Bills as they compare to the Leafs. I think there is a certain amount of synergy there from a not being able to get to the final destination standpoint. And how long do you go? One of the best teams in the league year over year. That is very true of the Bills. It has been very true of the Leafs. And that's why there's so much bitterness one or the other, really, we care more about the Bills here, don't come through in the end and keep hitting their head on a familiar ceiling. In the case of the Bills, it's more so one team. For a while for the Leafs, it was the Bruins, but it's really been anybody they play in the playoffs. Usually, I mean, they haven't been past the second round in a long, long time now, and got eliminated again last night on home ice in a game 7 that was as meek a performance as you could have in front of your fans. It might be like a legendarily meek performance in front of your fans if they hadn't just put maybe an unbeatable score on the board a few nights earlier in game 5. They had two home games in this series, tied 2-2 and tied 3-3, and got outscored 12-2 in the two games. 6-1 the score in both games, and neither game would be a situation where you would go, oh yeah, but it was much closer than that. In fact, I would say last night's game, which it's funny, like I watched all of game 5. I don't really remember anything about it because it gets blown out of the water by the game 7 performance from Toronto. I would say that the Leafs were incredibly fortunate to get out of the first period tied 0-0. Although they did have their best 10 minutes of the game really in the back half of the first period. So, I mean, maybe you could even argue that they could have taken a lead there. But, you know, hang a banner. You know, we had a good 10 minutes in game 7 is maybe something you could, we've got a lot of creative people out there that do this for the Bills, but, or really more pointedly the Sabres, hanging, you know, stupidly worded banners. But for the Leafs, it was incredible to turn on a game 7 and feel like the home team was the team that needed to survive the first 10 minutes of the game. Right? That is usually, you can almost bank on it. You turn on any playoff game, but the later you get in the series, you know, the more juice this sort of comment has, the more likely you are to hear it. But you'll hear it in game 1 of a series about the road team. You'll hear it in game 5 about the got to survive the first 10 minutes. The crowd's going to be juiced. You know, this team's going to come barreling out of the dressing room. Fans are at a fever pitch, waving pom-poms or T-shirts or whatever, and they're going to be, it's going to be hell. We just got to put our head down, play a simple game, and just try to get to the second TV timeout and catch our breath. And that was really the position Toronto was in last night, hosting the Florida Panthers in a Game 7. It was just ridiculous. Not up to it in any way, shape, or form. So there are things about the Leafs interestingly, I think, to talk about from a Buffalo perspective might be Mitch Marner at some point. Not that it's realistic at all, but it's worth dreaming about, I think, because of the reputation that some of these guys have now. And really, the core four, Marner, Matthews, Tavares, and William Nylander. And like, that is where the crossover, to me, sort of comes in with the Bills. I think, for me, anyway, as an observer of the league, the NHL I'm talking about, my stance mostly on the Leafs through this era, right, with these guys, with these high picks, Matthews a 101, the free agent signing of Tavares, what the Leafs were building and trying to win with, I mostly would... You get to the end, you lose to a good team, whether it's in the first round or a couple of times here recently in the second round. You get there and you lose, and well, it's hockey, and you know, there's bad breaks, and the other team is really good, and you've got a lot of talent. Keep going. Keep going. Sort of like Sean McDermott says, right? There's the crossover. You keep knocking on the door until it opens. Or you break it down from knocking so persistently and so hard. And that has been how I have felt about the Leafs through this, and mostly how I would say I have felt about the Bills. I mean, the Bills have changed out personnel here. The core of the team really is Josh Allen and Deion Dawkins, you could say maybe Ed Oliver's in that core, but like a lot of it has changed over the years. You started out with Tremaine Edmonds, now you've got Terrell Bernard. You started out with Tre'Davious White, and now you've got Christian Benford as your number one corner. So you had Stephon Diggs for a while. Now you've got Everybody Eats. So the personnel has changed, and the Leafs have really they've changed. You know, I guess. Around that core, they've changed over the years, and they don't. You know, no hockey team is the exact same team year over year. It just does not work that way. They've also done something the Bills have yet to do during this stretch of 5 straight division titles, and that is change management and/or coaches. This all started out for the Leafs with Austin Matthews and Nylander and Marner, with Babcock as their coach, and. He eventually went by the wayside, and in here comes Sheldon Keefe. He rides for a while, and we've reached it. We've gone as far as we can go with this. We need a coach who can instill a more disciplined defensive style. Any of this sound familiar? And Berube comes in this year. And I would say that was relatively successful. The Leafs played more like a team prepared to play in the playoffs through the whole season and through the first round. than maybe they ever have during that core's existence. But these two games at home within the last week, Game 5 and Game 7, it's got to be enough. I could no longer objectively from far away, and I recognize, like, this is an easier thing to do. Most of the pushback I ever got about saying this about the Leafs, you know, it wasn't a ton of feedback. Again, we're not in Toronto, and I recognize that, but we do share some audience here, and certainly plenty of Toronto hockey fans are also Bills fans and NFL fans. So, you know, I feel like the audience is mixed enough. The pushback would be, like, it's easy for you to say you're not a fan. And that's right. I mean, I agree. I think being a fan can make you more passionate about it. And when you are passionate about things, you can tend to overreact. It's why, you know, I think it's best in life. It doesn't always work this way, but I think it's best in life if you can avoid making decisions about important stuff when you're running hot. Because when you're running hot, you are more prone to make a mistake and overreact. So, yeah, of course, I'm not a Leaf fan. I'm a hockey fan. I like when Toronto does well. I think it's a cool story in the league. That's really all of it for me with them, by the way. I mean, sure, my friend John Gale was sitting in my living room yesterday. He's a proud Canadian, born and raised in Port Colborne. He's lived all over Canada and all over the world, but lives here now. And, you know, he was a teenager when the Leafs won in 1967. He's been waiting. He never even got wound up about it last night. It was almost a non-event. It wasn't even very, very emotional, as it turned out, sitting in the living room watching it. But it would be impossible now for me to say they don't need to change anything. And where the crossover comes in to me with maybe more exclusively our audience and Bills fans is how close to that ledge are you on the Bills? We've seen five straight division titles. We've seen tons of points. We've seen the what is it? The best record over this stretch of time, these 5 years, to have not won a Super Bowl. In other words, no other team has won more games in a time span since the Bills started winning the AFC East in 2020. No other team in football has won as many games as the Bills have without winning the Super Bowl. Or maybe it's without reaching the Super Bowl. Either way, you know where the ceiling is, and you know where the Bills keep hitting their heads on. It's the Chiefs, and it's been the AFC title game twice. It's been the divisional round twice, and you can't get by it. And I struggle. Like Mike, a while ago, I think maybe even pretty early on after the season ended, after another disappointing, heartbreaking loss at the hands of the Chiefs in the AFC title game back in January, they're like, I think this might be it. And I struggle with that because you kind of want to see it, right? Like what happens? How did it go? Who, if anyone, or maybe a few different people who have the smoking gun of ineptitude, like who caused the Bills to hit their head again? And we all know the history, and the case has been made multiple times about McDermott's shortcomings, chiefly 13 seconds, which is unavoidable in any kind of conversation like this. You've had this history where the same outcome. It's not always the same script, but it's the same outcome. I can't get by it. And I wonder now, I mean, not that you need the Leafs for the comparison, but it's a frame of reference here. I would tell you I'm done supporting them continuing to keep going. I mean, they really have no choice now. Some of the choices are actually going to be made for them. Tavares and Marner's contracts are up. They are unrestricted free agents July 1. And so I would anticipate, considering that they already had a trade set up, think about how different so much of this could have been if Mitch Marner agrees to go to Colorado. Wait, No, it was Carolina. It was the second time he got traded. Rettinen was in Carolina, miserable. Carolina knew they weren't going to sign him to an extension. Let's try to get out of this. And they ended up shipping him to Dallas. That was around the deadline. And the Leafs had, it came to be known, the Leafs had a trade lined up, sending Marner to Carolina. I don't remember if there are any other particulars. I don't think it particularly matters whether there were or not. The kingpins of the trade were Marner and Rantanen. And Marner, holding no trade protection, killed it. And so, no contract extension. He got stood in the way of the Leafs making a move to change their core four in advance of the playoffs, and then, on top of it all, failed to come through in the playoffs once again. He's done there. I mean, it's over. It's not turning around. So, you know, to support trying to keep that thing together seems just ridiculous at this point. A part of my sort of consistent stance of like keep going, keep knocking on the door, like McDermott says, as it pertains to Toronto, has largely been, well, these guys are young and they're under contract, and what are you doing? Right? You're probably going to have a hard time winning any trade. Now, I think Rantanen for Marner would have been a pretty fair trade, and the Leafs might have even won the trade. Rantanen's had one of the best playoffs in history this year with Dallas. So Marner's done. Like, there's no way that they could bring him back, even on some kind of sweet hometown discount, if that were even realistic. Like, it's over for him. Blocking that trade and then not coming through again, like, that's, forget it.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Bills' end of that, really the thing that they haven't done, which I've already alluded to, that Toronto has done a couple of times. I mean, they changed out Kyle Dubas and as GM, and I already gave you the rundown on the coaching track. So they have tried that already. What they've never done is really change the key personnel. I wonder what kind of appetite Bills fans would have. I shouldn't say Bills fan. I know some of the fan base. I've never wanted to say it was most or a majority or anything like that. But it's a persistent group, and it probably is ever-growing. Because the longer you go without winning, the more that winning the Super Bowl, getting to the Super Bowl. The longer you go without doing that, people that are holding out on, I got to change the coach, start like, I hear you. I guess maybe I don't know what else to do. I guess I'll do that. Because they've changed again, plenty of personnel. We're on to a second rotation of fortify the defense. That's my problem. I can't stop the Chiefs. I mean, that was the story after 2020, but especially after 2021. I got to get pass rushers. I got to get Von Miller. I got to draft AJ Epinesa. I got to draft Gregory Rousseau. I got to draft Boogie Basham. I got to do all this to try to combat what the Chiefs are doing to me. So personnel, we've been through it. They've not changed any part of the, well, significantly the hierarchy. I mean, some assistant GMs have moved on to become GMs. Some assistant coaches have moved to other assistant coaching positions. I don't think any, well, Daboll got a head coaching job after a highly successful run here as coordinator. But they've not changed the top guys. And I wonder if fans are just going to be, you know, we get through this season, here's where I sort of get self-conscious, because I don't want to speak in a way that says I'm expecting them to fall short. But if it were to happen again, I just feel like we're not really going to have a better idea. And in saying that, I'm not saying it's indefensible to consider changing out McDermott. Like, I'm bored. I don't know what else to do. Fire him and start over. What I am saying is it's a place on the board that we have been talking about and considering. Part of my trouble in getting any traction in the conversation is that I haven't really ever felt like it was a realistic possibility within ownership. I just don't think that they think they have a problem. And that does not mean they don't. And you know, maybe another year will come and go, and the amount of fans that are just, I can't keep doing this. Again, like Toronto, we keep doing the same thing. Something's got to give. Something's got to change. And I think it's pro sports. The people running the teams, coaches and GMs, do not get to have jobs for life. They usually get changed out well before the players do. And so we've got this, Nick Costas had this stat about coaches and quarterbacks together as long as McDermott and Allen have been together. Never, what is it, like after 5 years?
It's 5 years, yeah.
They don't even get to the Super Bowl, let alone win it. Like, those relationships don't get as much time normally. So, I don't know, I hope I'm not sort of weaving too wildly all over the road here and mixing in the Toronto Maple Leafs and our beloved Buffalo Bills, but I feel like synergy is not exact. There's just a comparison to be made within the franchises and the fan bases about your appetite for change. The fans are always ahead of the owners and the GMs if they're talking about replacing a coach. I mean, it just that's natural. The appetite that I have sensed for the Bills to make a move on McDermott as these seasons have wound down, it came earlier than I ever thought it would. Like, I was stunned at how much traction it had just after 13 seconds. And I know that what the scorecard tells you is, if you felt that way in January of 21, or it would have been January of 22 following the 21 season, if you felt that way then, you have not been proven wrong. I mean, that's obviously readily apparent, because they have not gotten any farther than they did. You know, they got as far last year as they did in 2020. And so they're kind of running in place and no change has been made. And maybe you get to a place where one, even if you've been relatively supportive, like I feel like I have been. Mostly. I mean, I've had my moments. Talk about speaking, and I mean, I don't get to make decisions. I get to make a decision about what I want to say and how I'm feeling. And man, after after that Eagle game year before last, I was hot. I was done. I can't keep doing this. So we've all maybe reached that point at different times, but I ended up, walking it back is a very popular phrasing. I don't know. I said I was wrong. That's walking it back, I guess, right? I want that back, because I think there's been a lot more good than bad with McDermott and Bean running the Bills. So I remain what I think is very supportive. I am rooting for, especially for McDermott. I feel like we hear from him more. I talk to him more. I don't know if I've talked to Brandon Bean on the air once or twice, maybe in the whole time he's been here. McDermott used to be weekly with us, and then he was on intermittently with us again last year, which was nice to be able to revisit that relationship with him. The sit down he just recently did with Sal and Matt Bove, he comes across like, I think to me, any one of you out there that will call and tell me what you want and how badly you want it and how much it means to you, Dermott is entirely, in my opinion, believable in that way. So, like, I'm rooting for him. I think it'd be a great story, just like I was rooting for the Leafs. It's not just because of my friend John Gale, and it's not because of proximity or the uniforms that they've been around since the invention of pro hockey. It's the story. I mean, all of that makes their story more compelling. Can't do it. I am an endless sucker for the narrative of a team that can't break through. Ovechkin's never going to win the cup. You want some old stereotype? He's Russian. He doesn't care that much about the Stanley Cup as much as the good Canadian boys do. And, you know, they're never going to make it. And then until they did, and then they won. Like, that happening in sports to me is almost what it's all about. You're doubted, you're contending, you're excellent, fall short. You're never going to do it. Break it up. They're fatally cursed. Bodies are buried under the rink or the goalposts or something, right? All this stuff. And then, oh, they did it. What happened? They did it. That's what I was rooting for with Toronto. I think anything that gives you hope, even if you're not a Toronto fan, we're in Buffalo. We're very familiar, intimately familiar with the Leafs and their fan base. That fan base, I know they'd be insufferable in the capes and the tinfoil cups and all the stuff that I've made fun of them about for decades here on the radio. But it would be a story if you can pull back from the emotion of being a Sabres fan and not liking the Leafs or hating the Leafs. You would have to admit that is the most compelling story in the playoffs. I think it was even a more compelling story than Connor McDavid chasing his first Stanley Cup because of the duration. So, like, anything like that in sports that gives you hope, I think can then give other people, i.e. Bills fans, that same hope. Well, look, they stuck with it and they did it. They're not fatally cursed. They're not flawed in some way that you can't repair it. And that McDermott and the Bills to me are that same sort of narrative. So I'm pulling for them. Obviously, I mean, did I even need to say that? I mean, I work here. I live here. I love the Bills. But I think objectively, without an emotional attachment, it would be a great story if they finally broke through with that coach. But how long do you want to go? I think the Leafs have hit their endpoint, at least from a roster construction standpoint. I doubt that they're going to change the coach out. They just did that last year. So it'll be time to move the players around and the important pieces around. Just a massive letdown and that had to be for them last night. What a disaster. Even... Well, I'll save it. I got plenty of time, and I'm already late to the first break because I'm a moron. 803-0550 is the number. You get the gist of what I'm talking about here? Patience? How much of it do you have left? That kind of thing. Any just general observations on the Leafs flailing like they did in games 5 and 7? Also definitely welcomed. Our old friend Joe Yurden with Bleacher Report was in Toronto for both game 5 and game 7. He'll be with me at 4. We'll pour over all of this with Paul Hamilton at 5. And Brian Koziel will join me at 6 to go over Scottie Scheffler's major win in the PGA yesterday in North Carolina. So that is what's to come in between. Lots of time for your calls, so hit it up. 803-0550 is the number. Mike is off today along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.